This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Wednesday evening live stream with the Shower Door Pros. Good to see you. Hope you're having a great week so far. Well, you know, we're about halfway through it, you know, give or take, depending on, you know, your particular schedule. I know me, I'm usually Saturday is a work day for me. I don't work very hard on any of the other days, you know. Try not to schedule installations or anything. I usually do like office work or something on Saturday. But, you know, if you've got that customer, like they really need you to do the thing on Saturday, whatever.
Do you charge extra for that? Like, well, I mean, you're self-employed, so I don't know if you do. Like,
I pay myself extra when that happens.
when customers do request a Saturday call, we got to tell them, hey, it's overtime. You got to pay it or wait for during the week. And well, sometimes they'll pay for a Saturday, you know, for the guys to go do it. But yeah, typically it's Saturday. It's overtime for my guys. Not, you know, if I got to pay them half, you know, they should do it too.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good point. You know, how about you, the other guys? Do you work Saturday? If so, do you do it for the same fee or what?
I usually work every Saturday. But I'm kind of like you. I'm just in the shop doing office type stuff, catching up. But if a customer wants an install on a Saturday, yeah, I tell them it's a different rate because I got to pay my guy, you know, extra to work on the weekend.
Yeah, I charge the same thing, you know, whether it's Saturday or not. But I just try to avoid doing it, you know. You know.
How about a Sunday?
Yeah, no Sundays. It would have to be an emergency. And there's just not that many shower door emergencies. I mean, it's one of the things I really love about shower doors. You know, it's like, oh my God, we're all going to die if this shower door doesn't get adjusted. It's like, you know.
Sometimes they think that, though. Oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have different definitions of what's an emergency. Boy, we've all learned that, haven't we, over the past few years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah. Who else? How about you, Billy Britt? Talk to me, man.
We don't do much Saturday installation, but I've actually considered doing like a premium option for a few years, where a homeowner can choose if they want to do a weekend or an after hours installation, and there's a premium price for it. But I can't get consistency out of my guys. Nobody can guarantee me they're available for this weekend out of the month or that weekend out of the month. So we haven't pushed it, but I've considered doing offering premium install to customers for a few years, but haven't pulled the trigger on it.
Hey, what does it say on your, on your sweatshirt there?
This is from when I was coaching high school football when we played in like a state regional.
That's awesome, dude. How long did you do that for?
Coached for 12 years.
Wow.
So right after I got out of college, I coached for 12 years. Won a state championship when I was 2-1 when I was in high school, came back to my high school, 1-1 as a coach. And then we actually finished runner up in my last year. So pretty decent high school football.
Nice.
So you got out while you were still kind of winning, right?
I got out when business got too busy. Started having too many babies and too much work to do. So I had to dedicate time to that.
Oh, that's what happens, man.
No. Well, it's cool that you got to do that, man. That's pretty awesome. I know that I'm not very athletic, you know. I was, you know, you guys met me in person. I'm like about this tall. So, you know, I never really excelled in sports. That's why I learned how to play guitar instead, because, you know, you got to find some way to meet chicks, right? when you're not tall and handsome. But anyway, but you know, what I was getting to is like all the guys I know who have coached sports really get a lot out of it, you know, and it's a good experience. So
I do better with teenagers and kids that you can, you know, actually teach. That I have grown teenagers at the office most of the time that I try to teach and do that with, but it's a little more difficult.
Right on.
What's up, Brandon? Just popped in.
What's going on?
What's up, man?
We're just talking about sports, coaching ball, you know, shower door stuff.
Perfect.
I want to touch on Brandon's dancing skills that I saw earlier.
Dude, that was funny. That was great. Skills.
There's no skills there.
More like guts, man.
Yes.
I was like, I'm just going to do this. What the heck?
Thanks for you, man.
Yeah, dude. Heck yeah.
Get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. I noticed you've been showing up there on social media a little bit more frequently. I think Keith has been a good influence on you.
Right. I just figured, you know, I post a lot of like shower stuff. It's just never personal or like me in the videos or whatever. And I figured, yeah, I used to, and I should. Chances always try to challenge me to do more of that. And I just, you know, he's way better at speaking than I am. I don't know how to speak. So in front of a camera.
Well, you don't need to speak anymore. I'm calling for a dance off between you and Keith Dobman. That's social media gold, social media gold right there.
So my daughter's like every time. So my older daughter lives in California and she comes out, she's like, let's do a TikTok. And I'm like, I'm not doing a TikTok. I don't know how to dance. She's like, I'll teach you. She's in dance and stuff. And now she has an Instagram. So she saw and she's like, oh, you're definitely doing a TikTok with me next time I come out. Great.
Knock that first one out, you'll be golden.
Right.
Sounds like you need to hire her to do some social media.
Serious. Curious. So what's new tonight?
Well, we were talking about scheduling and, you know, what days of the week that we, you know, do work and, you know, if we work Saturdays and stuff like that. How about you? I mean, what do you guys do on Saturdays?
We don't work weekends. I haven't worked weekends. I mean, unless I wanted to work a weekend, but I made it a thing when I opened my company that I wouldn't work weekends ever. So
nice. Yeah, that's a good policy.
I obviously work weekends because I still answer the phone and I do things here and there when I want to, but I don't really work weekends, so I can go away. So
yeah, that's kind of how I approach it. I mean, I just don't make it a habit or make it, you know, a prior, or what am I trying to say, an obligation. I don't obligate myself to work on the weekend. Sometimes on a Saturday, if I've got a customer, like I was saying earlier, who just it'll only work on a Saturday, you know, I will reluctantly do that, but never on a Sunday and rarely on a Saturday.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone. I was just on the phone before this. I was on an hour and 45 minute conversation with the guy. He works 7 days a week. Oh, wow. He said he worked 361 days last year.
Wow. No way.
Wow. Like heart attack material right there.
Yeah, that's not right.
So
pass.
Right. Just taking it where it's there, I guess. But
you're making all that money, but you can't spend it. You're working. What's the point?
Exactly. That's what I said. Can't take it with you when you die. I mean, people say you can leave it to your kids and your family, but I'm like, but I got a life insurance policy for not the money I make is what we can spend while I'm alive. The other money you guys can have when I'm dead.
Very true. The Chinese guy might be trying to get away from something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're trying to stay out of the house.
Exactly. Right.
Is he a Chinese?
Chinese. Well, I mean, I could see too, if like you're 20 years old or 21 years old or something like that, doing that for one year or something out of your life.
Yeah.
Just to kind of be able to stay when you're 45 or 55. Oh yeah, I remember when I was 21. I had that year when I worked, you know, 362 days right. or whatever, you know, but just for Brad.
I'd rather say, man, I didn't work 250 days last year.
Exactly. That's kind of the goal, is like make more money and work less hours, I would think. Mm-hmm.
I was in the 400 days.
Exactly. I'll ask this question because I had this conversation today with a group of people that I meet with. Who here, because I grew up in a culture of like, it's shameful if you're not an hour early to work and you're not working through lunch and you're not working after lunch. Who else has come up in that culture? Because that's the culture I came up in. It's not necessarily what I want for my future, but it's definitely what I grew up with and what I learned off of.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar to you. I remember getting a job with this one guy who's a smaller company, and he's like, hey, so try not to take a lunch during the day. Like, just drive through somewhere and eat it in the car, because there's a lot of windshield time and you're just not doing anything. So you might as well just eat while you're driving to the next job. I mean, we did it, right? I mean, that's what we did. So we just,
but I do, I still do it.
We always work through our lunch and all that. So I tell my guys, though, like, take a lunch, like, you know, make sure you take a lunch. I don't want you working. I don't want you to have to do what, you know, how we came up. Mm-hmm. But
just make some better, Brendan. Make some better.
Yeah.
But see, I'm a little bit different. Like, I'm just a salesman. I don't do the installs. So on a Saturday, I'll run, you know, two or three appointments, you know, and usually they usually close because it's a Saturday. Their guard's a little down. And then as far as working through lunch, it's on commission. When I'm done, I'm done. You know, if I do, you know, three or four or five appointments, and I could be done by one, you know, I'm on the golf course. My wife still doesn't know I'm not working. But the thing is, you know, I don't do any of the installs, so I know what the installs that's heavy work, you know, that's heavy work, so that you really do get tired. But I mean, I enjoy the weekends, and I'll work through lunch just so I can finish, because then I'm done, right? Because mm-hmm. there's days that I'm done by like 1 o'clock, first appointment at 10, last one at 1, and I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I think when Saturdays are awesome to work, like if you want to work on Saturdays, because especially sales, you're gonna close you're gonna close jobs on Saturday because most shops are closed. But like the traffic's not there when you're installing, like you can get to your jobs quicker, you can get in and out. Like it's almost like when you work on the weekends, it's just like mellow. You like that fast pace just goes away. You can just kind of do your thing, but
Yeah, true that. Yeah, and if it's just you're doing strictly sales, I mean, Saturday is a great day to work, you know. But it's like you're saying, Mike.
Or help the wife clean the house, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like you're saying, I mean, if you're doing like, where if you're doing installations or something, there's a lot of gearing up and gearing down and getting in and out. You don't just get in and out, you know, so. But I find that like it hard to stop for lunch usually, unless if I'm on a job where I'm doing like multiple bathrooms in one house or something like that. That's really, and I'm going to go back there for two or more days in a row. Then I find it easy to break for lunch and be like, okay, I'm going to stop, take lunch, come back, you know, cause I know I'm coming back the next day anyway. It's weird. But if I'm just going out like on a regular work day, which is usually like, it's like one job for me in a day. I won't stop for lunch. I lose my momentum, you know, and I'm like have to get going again. So it's not that I'm such a hard worker or anything. It's just, I think it's more laziness, you know, it's like, oh man, I'm already moving. If I stop, I'll have to start again.
Especially like in sales, when you get on the rhythm and everybody keeps saying yes, 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 and you want to just hurry up and hit the next one, right? But, yeah. But when it's tell you no, 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 there's a couple of 7-Eleven stops between, you know, the next appointment, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Drown my sorrows in a big gulp and a slushy.
Right, big gulp and a Snickers.
That's right. Yep. Exactly.
Has anyone ever tested out a 4-day work week with employees, like 4-10s? And yeah, not necessarily.
We do it at work at Century. We do that. They do 4-10s for the installers.
Because I thought about it, not necessarily being closed on Friday, but like one crew will have Friday off, the next week another crew, it'll rotate, you know, and you do 4-10s with people. Because I honestly feel like realistically you can almost get another shower installed within that time period, which will end up saving you time in the long run of starting the next day and not getting, you can almost get one more shower installed a week with running 4-10s, and they get an extra day off. I feel like it would be more efficient, especially if they're in the grind mode those 4 days. So
yeah, but I mean, I've worked that schedule before as an employee, and I liked it a lot. I think I was like a lot more productive like that. Cause that kind of that same thing, like I was talking about earlier, it's like, you know, and then it's easy actually, even on a 10-hour day to keep working, you know, through lunch or just have some, you know, some snacks that you can kind of eat while you're moving, right? Or, you know,
at the same time, but you got to figure out, you got to see if how many homeowners want you at their house, you know, late or that early in the morning too.
Right. And those are the days when I was working like commercial and stuff. You know, I mean, I can't imagine doing that residential.
I bet you would be shocked on, because I've always toyed with wanting to have an afternoon crew that came in at noon, that ran from like noon to 6 or 7 o'clock at night, because of how many more installs could you do if you split your crews up to where you're installing in, during the day and then a few installs after that. Because when your trucks are sitting, your trucks aren't making any money, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're running more, but how many people have a full-time job where they don't get off work till 5 and they can't afford to take the time off work, or they don't want to take the time off work to get a shower installed, and you make it convenient on them to come after they get off work to install a shower door. Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody driving my truck. So if I got to share, then I don't know how that's going to work. Ain't gonna happen with me. Right. So my truck is my truck.
That's something I've definitely considered.
My truck too. But so we rotate trucks every now and then. Our guys don't care. They're all set up the same. So,
Do you provide tools for your employees, or are they buy their own?
We do in a couple locations, but in Phoenix we don't. We did for the most part, and then we stopped. But everyone has pack out stuff like that. So we provide like the main tools, chop saws, grinders, ladders, big stuff like that. They have their hand tools.
Yeah, I have my own. Yeah, everybody has their own because they like to take their tools home and, you know, do little projects on their own. So I'm like, all right, go for it. You know, but if I buy them, you don't take them home. You know, they stay here, you know.
So usually if I'm supplying tools, I'm just giving them to the guys. Like if I buy a set of drills or as a bonus or anything, just give them to them instead of buying it for the company. Let them use it. Just felt like that was just easier. They take care of them better that way too.
Just give them directly to the guys rather than have them in lock up or whatever.
Right. I used to work for a company in San Diego, Discount Glass and Mirror, the first company I ever worked for when I got into the business. And we called this guy the key master. So like they had this like locked room with the guy. It was his job to sit in there, and he had tokens and he had to check out tools and stuff. That was like his job. He literally every morning you go in there and you give him a token for like a grinder or a specialty tool and stuff like that. So you're like, you know, you're reliable for that tool. But it was just funny because everyone called him like the key master. So
that's funny. Well, you were about to say something earlier. Do you remember what you were going to say?
I was commenting on what Brandon said about hours. You know, as we shifted more into residential, you know, more shower based stuff, because we've done everything for years. I've considered shifting our entire day, like starting later, working later. Some of my guys are open to it, some are not, but our business is more driven, you know, if it's homeowner based, if you're not doing as much builder stuff, it's driven to working to their hours. And that can cause, you know, cause difficulties with scheduling. We still work 8 to 5 is what we do, but I've definitely heavily considered shifting everything we do, you know, not opening till 10 or 11, you know, keeping guys on almost like a second shift basis with installation, because I feel like it would be easier. But I haven't tested that well enough to really know. So,
yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I used to always fluctuate back and forth starting times. Start at 8, and then we'd start at 6:30 and all that. And it's just like when we started
at 8. Is that because of the customers, or is that because of your installers? In other words, are you starting them late because the customer needs a certain time because they get out of work at whatever?
No, usually when I did it was to try to get around traffic and stuff like that. Cause that plays a factor in it too. So if you start later and in later, you're going to miss traffic both ways. A lot of times, if you start earlier, you can miss traffic both ways. So it's kind of like finding that happy ground. I guess in California, sometimes you don't miss traffic at all. That's
there, right? Wow. Yeah. But that's why my first appointment, cause I'm the West LA rep. My first appointment is after 10. It's 10 to 2. You know, and I'll work, you know, past 6 or 7, and I'll be out there just because of traffic. You know, I'll go sit there and maybe take an extended lunch or do some paperwork or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, sitting in traffic really, and especially for your installers, I mean, it wears on your body. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just, you know, doing the sales, but these guys are carrying stuff, and your body gets hot, gets cold. And that's hard on those guys. If you give them 3 shower doors and they finish it before their time, you should just pay them their 10 hours. You see what I'm saying? I mean, because you have your time already built into the price of your door. So if they finish it early, they could kind of go early.
I would have no problem with that. You know,
I have no problem with that. But what happens if they finish late? Do they got to pay you?
Ooh, now you're talking.
That's there's that.
I feel like it's a given. I feel like it's a give and a take all the time.
Yeah, sure. It shouldn't be a one way road, right?
Yeah.
But for me,
I'd rather work 7 hours, get paid 10. You know, if you're doing 10 floors.
Wouldn't everybody?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I would, because you let them go home early. They get to go home early because they can hustle, and I think they'll be more efficient that way. Because otherwise, they kind of just sit there and milk it. You know what I mean? Take an extra stop.
So I look at it. There's a lot of factors in that. There's really a lot of factors because you have like, so if you do that and guys finish early and they're rushing through their jobs, how many callbacks are you going to have that the company's got to pay for to go back on those jobs that got messed up because they're rushing through their jobs to get paid for 10 to get off early? So there's just a lot of factors. I mean, we take care of our guys. Sometimes they can go home. Sometimes they go home early. Sometimes they don't. Our hours, we try to work 7:30 to 4. Our shop closes at 4 and it opens at 7. So we have guys there at 6:30 loading up and stuff like that, but that's our hours. And it's kind of ran pretty, actually we switched to 7 now, 7 to 3:30. The guys wanted to come in a little earlier. So
nice.
It's been good.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. And you guys are doing like all kinds of stuff. I mean, you're not just doing shower doors. You even do a little commercial stuff, right?
We'll do like frameless commercial stuff, like partitions, office partitions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of railings. We just finished a really cool railing today. Satin brass standoffs with the bolt through handrail. Pretty cool railing. So
nice. That's a great thing about commercial jobs. You can get there early and nobody minds.
Yeah. Even the builder jobs, the custom builds, you can get there pretty early and you can work there pretty late too if you wanted. So
yeah, if it's an unoccupied residence, whatever.
Yeah.
Is there anybody here in the Nashville area, Tennessee area, or no?
Yeah, who? We have somebody in that area.
Tennessee.
Oh, what's his name?
Is it Brian over in that area?
Brian's in Chattanooga.
Okay.
Greg's in Knoxville. Greg. I think.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, because I'm looking to get out of California to go that way.
Yeah.
California's the best, bro.
Take the N off. Take the N off. It's Asheville. That's where I'm at.
You're in the wrong side of California. You need to come northern, man.
I've been up there. It's just as crazy.
Get away from those liberals, bro. That's what's messing you up.
That's true.
Hey, Billy,
that is true.
We're more red up here, man.
We're up here. That's Pelosi territory.
I'm in Sacramento area, bro. I'm like 40 minutes from Sacramento.
Okay.
North.
Yeah, we used to cover Sacramento. We closed that shop though a few years.
What ago. What company were you? Are you with
Century Shower Door?
Century. Never heard of them before.
Century, yeah. Come on.
Century, no.
Where you been, man?
Yeah. Century. Huh.
I'm sure you guys heard of us.
Yeah. Heard of you.
Billy. Speaking of Asheville, we got a guy in Austin that's actually moving to Asheville.
So he's moving from Austin to Austin, North Carolina?
Yeah. I don't know if he's wanting to stay in the glass business or not, but we told him if he wanted to, we'd definitely link you guys up. So
come see me.
Yeah, you guys, Chris, if you have a contact, if you shoot it over. Because my kids are, my last one's graduating in 6 months. And my kids are kind of scattered all over the place. One's in South Dakota playing football, the other one's in the Navy. And then I don't know where she's going to go, but, you know, out of California, I go. Might as well, the little bit of money that we do make, might as well keep it in my pocket and get out of this place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know if I can leave California, man. It's hard. I thought about it, but I don't know.
You kind of get used to the abuse, huh?
Yep.
You get kind of that that syndrome.
Yeah, that abuse from Joker.
I own too many guns. They think I'm a terrorist.
What is it? Stockholm syndrome?
Stockholm syndrome. That's there, right. Yeah. I love my attacker. I love my government. Where do I vote?
keep voting. Yeah. That's. It's too expensive here, man. It's too expensive. It just, I could work less, keep more in my pocket. I live the same way. Still struggling. Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah. It all depends on what your values are, what your goals are, you know, what's important to you, you know, and it's like, so there's something for everyone. At least that's.
I got a question for my
team. Bring it on.
All right. If my internet is stable, I might freeze up and nothing I say will be heard. But I measured a pretty big job today, had a bunch of showers and a pretty big wine room. It's two-sided, about 130 inches tall and about 62 inches wide. One side is going to be a solid panel. The other side is going to be door, transom, and side light. My problem is the 130 by 62 side is terrible. It's just like this all the way up. Either they're going to knock the wall down and do it, or they want me to try to put it in channel. How can I get, because I don't do channel a lot, how can I get a solid 130 inch by 62 inch piece channel? I've never done
lift that. And drop.
A single piece.
Just lift and drop.
Even on the sides?
You're going to have to float the sides or float one side.
Gotcha. Yeah, because that's my problem is the sides.
Yeah, just float, either float both sides or just float one side.
Gotcha.
If you float one side, it's going to be really tough. That's a big piece of glass to get in by floating one side. You're not going to really have too much room to kind of get that in there. But if you float both sides, just tape your, get your channel all cut, put your top in, your bottom in, cut your sides to fit, and then tape them onto the glass and then just pull them off once it's in. And just load them. You'll be captured at the top, silicone it in. You'll be fine.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, because I gave her that option earlier, and I was like, "Well, shit, I'm trying to do that." But okay, I wish I could use a small stop that or have a chance.
Or you split the panel.
Good.
Some people don't want to split, yeah. But you know, you split the panel and
the wine cellar. That's gonna be easy,
right? And then you can, if you split the panel, like on wine cellars, if we ever split the panel, we don't do a silicone butt joint. We actually VHB tape it and push them together in the center. So then you can put your channel up, push one all the way over, tape it, and then lift the other one in, push it all the way over, and then push them back together in the center.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there and see if there's any tricks, and I'll either float the sides or split the panel.
Yeah. It's cool to have a big piece like that, but some people, like out here, we do a ton of them. And they don't want to, the labor is just so expensive. And we get charged a jumbo size or panel charge over 50 square feet at some vendors, you know? So you got to make sure you, if your vendor does that. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That helps.
Hey, I see over in the Facebook page, in the chat over there, so people are chiming in. Actually, Brian Jurd's over there hanging out. I don't know what he's doing over there. Instead of being in here, he's taking a break. But anyway, Justin Lowry says he's like in Manchester, Tennessee, about an hour from Nashville.
Yeah, I want to stay kind of outside of Nashville because from what I understand, Nashville is getting pretty expensive now with all the California people going. But if I can stay like an outside of it, would be good, you know? Yeah, if I could, yeah, you pass over that information or mine to him, let me go from there.
I don't really, let me see here. He's all glass and yeah. All glass in Manchester. So I messaged you his okay, name.
Perfect.
You can find him in the group and I'm sure he'd be happy to.
Yeah, I knew there was a few that were out there.
Yeah.
We got 2,500 members. I'm sure there's someone in Nashville.
or just out that way someplace.
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
I mean, most of them are bots. But
most of them are bots. But I like bots. There's nothing wrong with those guys. Hey, most people are bots now, right?
They're really you're going to move away from the sunny state and away from the good-ass tacos where you're at.
Yeah, no shit.
Trade for some barbecue.
I'll bet you they got good tacos. And
I bet you they don't. I was in South Dakota and there was not one taco spot.
They can't.
Hey, I went to the Mexican food restaurant in Alaska one time.
Yeah,
it wasn't that good.
Yeah, we're out there in a Spearfish right next to Sturgis.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was Deadwood and all that. It was pretty cool, but nah, there was no, I mean, Taco Bell. That's about it. Yeah.
So one year I flew to Hawaii and my brother lives in Alaska and he was flying to Hawaii and he gets there before us and we land. He's like, all right, let's go to dinner. And I'm like, all right. He's like, we're going to go to this Mexican food place. I'm like, I am not going to a Mexican food place in Hawaii. I live in Arizona. Like, I eat Mexican food all day long. Like, I'm not going to go to one in Hawaii. It's not going to be. And we went there and it was essentially tasted like Taco Bell. Like, it was, yeah, it was great. But what do you expect in Hawaii? Mexican food.
That's hilarious, man.
Let me ask you guys something. So, this week I face a job that customer. I need to replace a glass, which is like low iron. And then I realized there's like a couple different types of low iron on the market, right? So
yeah, low iron is just a generic term. There's different brands. Like you have Crystal Clear, you have Starfire,
Ultra Clear.
You have Opti White. And they all have different edge colors.
Mm-hmm. And
they're all going to really, they're going to be really close looking through it. The clarity is going to be really similar, but the edge color is going to be different on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, what I would recommend is
I sold trying to, yeah, like a month ago, I sold like a unit, and the guy, he was like not too happy with the edge, because it was like, he told me it didn't match the sample, but I went through the whole thing, like say as wider as it's the panel, more tint you're going to see on the edges, right? And then he was okay, but I actually noticed later the edge was too dark. So I don't know where they get from, which brand they get from, that sheet of glass. So I was trying to figure it, and then I realized like there are a couple different qualities of low iron glasses, right? So what do you guys do? You guys ask for your suppliers? What I mean, I don't cut the glass at house, so I have my supplier cutting and supplying me the whole thing.
So our suppliers, we just know what they sell. So, and that's the samples we're going to show. And we're going to always explain, like, the bigger the piece and the thicker the piece, the darker the edge is going to get on any color glass, whether it's ultra clear or regular clear glass. But like Opti White has like a darker blue edge. It's more of like a deep ocean blue, and Starfire is more of like Starfire blue, like a lighter blue edge. And then you have some like Crystal Clear from Contractor's Wardrobe, like is almost like a, it's like a yellowish edge, like a light green yellowish edge. So usually, like, if you run into something that you're not sure what it is, you try to see if it's a contractor or who originally did the job, or look for the bug on the glass and look on the bug, and you might see the manufacturer on it, and you can kind of identify what type of ultra clear they're using.
I did that. Cool. So, but even though like the most of the low iron glass, the way you look it through is going to be way clear, right? It's just the edges, they're going to be darker or different edges?
Yeah, it's just usually any ultra clear, you're going to look through and the clarity is going to be really close to being the same. I don't think you're going to really be able to tell a difference on clarity looking straight through the glass. But the edge difference is what you're going to see. If you put a door and panel in, and the panel was Opti White and the door was Starfire, you're going to notice a difference on the edge. Mm-hmm. It's almost going to be like if you put a half inch panel in compared to a 3/8 right next to it, it's going to be a little darker edge on that half inch panel.
And as long as the light's inside the shower, it'll still shine crystal clear.
Yeah, I'm going through the same problem with the customer. I sold them ultra clear. When I do it, Lauren, I use ultra clear all the time. I don't go anything else. I like it. I think it's clearer than the other ones, but I'm running with the same problem with the customer. I explain to them, you know, the edges, you know, is it determine what the color your tile is to, what's going to reflect through the edges as well. Not just, you know, so yeah, let your customers know that, you know, you put your, like I have samples here. You put it against something, a light color, it's gonna look clear. You go and put it against a dark, we have a two-tone walls here. You go put it against there, and the edge will be dark. It just all depends what color your tile is. So
yeah, because it's gonna pull in, the edge is gonna pull in that color. Any colors that are around it, the edge is gonna pull in. So when we sell ultra clear, we sell it as the clarity of the glass. You're not gonna have a tint when you're looking through the glass. So like if you're gonna look at white tile through your glass, it's going to look like white tile. If you put clear glass in, it's going to have a little minty greenish color to it. And that's what we always sell on the clarity. You'd be surprised how many glass guys I've talked to that sell on the edge, on the color of the edge. They don't even sell on the clarity of the glass. They always talk about the edge. The edge is so much lighter than, but it's really the clarity that you're selling is the clarity of the glass.
Good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Because really, one batch of glass can be a different color than another batch of glass, even though it's the exact same brand, exact same supplier. You know, I mean, anytime I'm going to replace one piece of, you know, low iron glass that's next to another one, I'm going to tell them, look, chances are this is not going to be exactly the same. And just kind of try to manage their expectations around that.
It's the same thing with like tile and wood floor and stuff like that. Like you're going to buy the same run when you're buying tile. you want to make sure the codes line up and it's the same color run as before, because if they might sell that tile a year later, it's the same tile, but it's going to be a different run. It could look a little different. So it always, things change, you know.
Hey, Vito, what size samples are you using for your low iron? What size sample?
You're like a 4x4.
I would, my suggestion to you would be to throw away anything that's less than a 12x12. That would be my suggestion. Yeah. Tell your brother, you need 12x12 minimums or actual panels, you know, a 3x4 or a, if you can't hold that, a 1x4 that you can have in your shop to carry it so it'll actually show properly.
Yeah, got it. I'll do that. And also, but I always make very clear that the sample doesn't bring the reality of the panel, because the panel, as wider it gets, you're going to see more tint on the edges for sure. And also, I also attach to the code a diagram of colors, like with the width and thickness of the glass, like just to represent how close it will look like the edges. Just to make the whole thing clear and make them sign too.
I was trying to share. I was trying to share it with the group.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you shared it.
Oh,
yeah,
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Came through.
Oh, okay. I'm glad it wasn't an inappropriate picture.
No, it was close though.
So I could email that or text that to anybody if they want it. I use that just to kind of have something written down, because if it's written down, they're going to believe it. You know what I mean? I'll send it to Chris, and then I guess you can share it with everybody else. I don't know how
to we have a couple really good pictures. The showers we use, where we have like a, it's like a 90 degree shower on lighter tile, and it's starfire, and the door is open, and you can see the how the tile doesn't change when you look through the glass, and then you get to where the door is open, and then we have it in a clear glass, and how you can see the difference of the shade from open door to behind the glass, and it's pretty cool, and we use that a lot.
I have one we tore out that was regular glass on white tile, and we replaced it with starfire, and I took pictures of before and after, and that's a good picture too.
We had a customer a couple years ago that was like, I ordered clear glass and you put in green glass. So I'm like, this is clear glass. And she's like, this isn't clear glass. In my last house, it was, we ordered clear glass and it was clear. She's like, this is green. I'm like, this is clear glass. And like, we just went back and forth. Long story short, she had a quarter inch semi-frameless in her house. And obviously a quarter inch clear glass is going to look a lot clearer than 3/8. So like, this is clear glass. If we gave you a price for ultra clear. She's like, I don't want ultra clear. I just want clear. I'm like, well, that's what you got. And after a while, she finally was like, she understood, and it was just
that was a headache right there.
Yeah, this is our job.
This is not green glass. I showed her a sample of green glass, and it was like, it was pretty green, you know.
Yeah, that's familiar conversation. I've had that same conversation.
Yeah, we got educated customers.
So do you guys, when you guys bid your jobs, do you guys bid for both low iron and clear, or do you guys just do?
Yes.
I do both now, because if they deny it, okay, fine, here. You don't want it, that's fine. You know, at least I tried, and you can't go back on me and say, hey, why is my glass green? Well, I warned you. I even sent my customers a side-by-side of low iron and clear glass, and I sent it to them, and they'll circle which one they want. There's no arguing after I install it. If they do, then that's too bad. You know? So...
Yeah, I learned that from Brandon and Chance, man, that every bid I send out, I send, the price for clear glass, the price for low iron.
Mm-hmm. I learned that from going through Brandon's experience one time, and so I would never do it again. I know exactly what he went through. Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many times people will select the the more expensive glass, man. I mean, I saw a lot of that low iron.
Well, I did though was I didn't offer it, and so I just did clear glass because they told me their budget, they didn't want to spend a lot, so I didn't bother with the ultra clear or the low iron, and then it came and bit me in my butt, you know. But they still paid for it. They were, you know, they understood. Hey, you know what? Next time, you know, okay. You know, I don't think there's a next time because I haven't heard or seen them. Okay.
Yeah, what I do, I put the price for the unit below that, the additional for the low iron, and also the additional for the Enduro Shield.
There you go.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah.
Yep. Smart.
Now, what coatings do some of you guys offer? Like Enduro Shield, Shower Guard glass? What do you guys mostly use?
Diamond Fusion. I do Diamond Fusion, and I do have Shower Guard too. Old Castle has a Shower Guard, and then they use Diamond Fusion for their glass. So I've been trying to get into Diamond Seal, but I can't get. I'm trying to have a meeting with them, but it's hard to, you know, to get everybody in line, you know, with that.
Well, the great thing about like the Diamond Seal, like I do the Diamond Seal in the shop. If I have to do it, that's what I have. You know, a lot of times I'll just order glass, like I'll get Diamond Fusion because it'll come with it and it's just easy. Well, the great thing about the Diamond Seal thing is it's like, you don't have to, all you have to do, you just buy the product from them. It's have them send you the product, you buy it and you use it. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Those guys are really easy to do business with. The Aiken brothers, man, they're good guys. And I always had good experiences with those guys.
I'm going to ask you, Chris, since we buy from the same supplier, I know you have you now from Diamond Seal and Diamond Fusion. Do you notice a difference, or is it just less cost? You know, it doesn't, you know, it's the cost of
it's
it.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah, I don't really think there's much of a difference. I mean, if you talk to those guys, they would tell you there's a big difference.
I'd rather not. Take the time and having to seal it. I'd rather the glass just come and just that's it. You know, not have to worry about it.
I have a tendency to want to like farm out every bit of labor that I possibly can. Yeah. You know, it's like I don't really want to have to do anything in the shop unless I have to. But sometimes, it is good to have the product though. You know, if you need to do it in the shop,
yeah,
it saves you like time or hassle in the long run, but more and more I'm just ordering it already done.
You still got to clean it, you still got to maintain it, use like a cleaner rejuvenator on it.
It's not like self-cleaning glass.
No.
No?
And if you're doing that already, you know, 2-3 times a week, I mean, shit, it's going to stay clean anyway. I sell that stuff only as a I'll give it to you, you know? But wait, there's more, you know, that type of stuff.
Right. Now, how much would you pay? But wait.
Right. But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Billy Mays here.
That's right. Billy Mays for Diamond Seal.
Billy Mays here with another fantastic product.
There you go. Right. I know that guy.
Right. What they need is a robot that, like, cleans their glass for them.
Right. So those coatings, they usually go like 10, 15 years. Some of them goes like lifetime warranty. By your guys' experience, those things, like, they really last this time, like 10, 15 years or not?
Yeah, but you still, like, even a lifetime warranty one, you still got to maintain it. Like, they're still every year, every couple years, you still want to put product back onto it to keep it last. Like, if you ever... It's funny, I'm testing my shower out right now because I squeegee my shower. I hate squeegeeing my shower, so I'm glad I'm not squeegeeing it anymore right now. But every day we squeegee our shower, and it's like, it's perfect. It's brand new, right? But so now it has Enduro Shield on it. So I'm like, let's see how long I can go without cleaning it, like to see how hard to clean it and see how it is. But you can always tell, even with that stuff. And I tell customers, the first 18 inches of your shower is going to be the dirtiest, because that's where all the soap scum goes, is the first 18 inches. It's all going to build down to right there, and that's going to be the toughest spot to clean. So
true. Yeah, I'm just asking because I'm not too long on the business like you guys. So I never had like a call. Yeah, they say, hey, the enduro shield is no longer working, this kind of stuff, you know. And also, I want to sell a product. I don't want to go back to reapply like in 1-2 years to every single customer. If if they call me like in 10, 15 years, that'll be fine.
Yeah. I would say you typically don't have issues with customers after a year or two even complaining about it. Typically, they're going to complain in the first like couple days and say, hey, there's nothing on my shower. And either there isn't or there is, and they just don't realize how it works. So I've had customers, like Chris said, hey, my shower is not self-cleaning. Like I followed up with a customer like 6 years ago and he's like, great shower, or he left me a review, like a 4-star. And he's like, awesome shower, did an awesome job, but it doesn't self-clean with that product on it. And I'm like, it's not supposed to self-clean. If I was able to come up with a product that was self-cleaning, I wouldn't be installing shower doors.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe Elon Musk coming up with something like this, right?
Right.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah.
Elon Musk, he'll come out with something like a squeegee. Clean your glass.
Yes. Self-cleaning glass.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs.
Right.
Get more lazy.
Yeah. Come on. Exactly. So much work pushing this button, man. I wish I could just think it and the button would just push itself.
I'm trying to reach the Jetsons era.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. What else? What else? Come on. Keep them coming. Got a million.
Okay. Yeah. One more question. So, good. I remember last week we were talking about to marketing the business. Just a quick question. Do you guys use something like Angie's List, House Pro Calls, this kind of thing? House Call Pros?
I don't. I used to use Home Advisor a long time ago, but it turned to crap. And now Angie leads his Home Advisor. We advertise with Google, Facebook.
Yep.
We got a billboard that's probably going up. We got a commercial on the news, local news station.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it?
Arizona.
Is it the one
where Arizona? Yeah.
Is it the one they're making out and stuff? Is that one?
That's one of the Facebook ads. The news commercial is a little more professional.
A little less sex in it.
Yeah.
Where do you find people to do that? I mean,
trying not to get canceled over here.
not in this group.
Sad. Yeah, not in this group.
No one's going to be offended.
Yeah.
Right.
The best thing to happen is to get canceled.
Right. I'm insulted.
Maybe if you had some two trans people doing it, they'd be okay.
If they're in California, they get paid $1,200 a month.
I know, right?
you get a male. That is male and then a trans male into a female, and they started it and they're like, what the hell is that? You know?
No, you're bugging my brain.
To touch back on what you actually asked.
Yeah, there you go. Come on, bail us out, man.
We don't do any Angie's List or the Next Door or any of that stuff. The scheme and how, honestly, they just bug me too much. Those people are like, if you start, you're never getting away from it. And I could be wrong, but they bother me enough when I don't do anything. So mm-hmm. I think just doing Google well can make a mm-hmm. huge difference. Yep. You have to do Google well. You have to show well on your personal locations, your Google, your website.
Yep.
It's accessibility and communication are the biggest things that we found over the last couple of years, for sure, that when we started to really push communication, that's the biggest thing. How quickly you get back to somebody, how quickly you get them information in a time where people are used to being able to go on Amazon, order instantly, and that shit will show up at your house before you pay for it sometimes. How quickly you communicate to them and how well you communicate, I think does sure. 10 times what AngieList or anything like mm-hmm. that can do. But if you're looking mm-hmm. for marketing, it depends on if you want to grow
like true like homeowner base, or if you want to grow like builder base sales. Homeowner, you're going to have to be really good digitally. Builder, that's about meetings and discussion and finding out who's unhappy. That's our biggest thing. We find out what builders are unhappy with who they're using. And that's constant. There's going to be builders that are unhappy with you sometimes, probably, you know, you try to limit those, but that's the biggest thing is finding out who's unhappy, who builds what you want to put showers in. That's also a big thing. You know, you don't want to get in with a builder that's building, you know, 1,000 square foot houses, because they're probably not going to do high end frameless enclosures, but you find a builder that's building 3,000 plus, you want to do whatever you can to get their business, you know, but still make money. So if you do it well, that's a big thing. So it's really deciding on what portion you want to push. I think pushing both at the same time is difficult, but figuring out which one you like more first. And then once you get some traction on that, then you can look at the other one. But that's right. That would be my suggestion.
So building an online presence.
Yeah, I mean, thank you.
Social media is huge. Using social media is free. That's free marketing right there. So you can reach out to builders that are on there. Builders definitely like to do work with other subs that are on social media, because they can see their work. They trust them. They see that, you know, you can collaborate with them. So social media is huge and it's free. SEO is probably where I would start with, SEO or Google.
Oh, yeah.
Your SEO, building your web presence is huge. And you can do that for free as well by getting 5-star reviews. Like if you're getting your views up on Google, you're going to rank better organically on your website through Google by getting reviews. And make sure you're responding to those reviews. You don't, anytime you get a review, bad or good, you should be responding to your reviews. Thank you, whatever it is. But Google likes that. Their algorithm likes that. So that'll help rank organically on Google or on a web search.
Cool. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I basically don't do nothing on my Instagram. For sure, I need to work better on that. But even though I get like messages work asking for estimates, and most of the time it works. It really works. And I'm basically not doing anything on my Instagram. So that's another thing too.
We have somebody doing all that for us. I hire somebody. They charge me $200 a month. It's worth every penny. Maybe you should just hire somebody to do all that for you. It's worth it. You'll get it back.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. If you can get something decent done for $200 a month, that's golden.
I think I sold a wine cellar today for my little dance.
There you go. See that?
So
I'm number one in my area. Anybody types in any glass work on the top page of everything in Google.
If you
can afford it, finding someone who knows how to do it is key. I mean, honestly, my wife does our social media, and I would say this to her sitting here, but we don't do a great job at it, but we do it. And that's the thing is it's about a doing thing. It's like we talk about all the time. You can be fed all this information, but if you don't do anything with it, you don't even have to be the best at it. It's ideally that's the goal, but just doing something does make a difference.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just start with
like my post,
a video.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Billy.
My posts don't level where Brandon's posts do. He's putting more time, effort, and he's doing a better job of it than I am, for sure. But I'm doing it, and I get traction off of it. So it's what you put into it. So Brandon does put more into it. Keith puts more into it, and they probably get a lot more out of it. So it's directly off of how much you want to put into it. But if you can hire somebody for a couple $100 a month, if you can. Yeah. Figure that, because they're going to know how to do it. You don't have to figure it out, and you're probably already busy doing something that you know how to do. So do that. Let somebody else do it for you, and you're going to see dividend off that for sure.
Just allow comments so that way you don't get the trolls out there, trying to talk shit and all that good stuff.
Oh, that's good too. Haters are great. Haters are the best thing.
But But instead of deleting stuff, interaction's good. Like we're running Facebook ads and people are talking shit about our Facebook ads. Like random people come on and they have to be, that's just how they live their life, right? They have to be negative. Right. And oh, you don't need to get a shower door because of soap scum and buildup. Like you just clean your shower door and all this. It's just like, but it's like any interaction's good. Like any engagement on your post is good engagement. It doesn't matter if it's bad or whatnot. Just
It is what it is.
So. Trolls are going to troll, man. Trolls are going to troll. Just let them do it.
It just makes you rank better.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign. If people are hating you and trolling you, that means you're over the target.
Yeah, you're so out there.
Keep doing that. Whatever you're doing that's drawing that flack, keep doing that. And it's like Billy's saying, I mean, it's like, you know, even if you're doing, you know, a little bit, you're going to get better results than the guy who's not doing anything, you know?
Just be consistent.
Both people.
Yep, just be consistent at it. Whether it's just a static photo, and start with static photos. It doesn't have to be videos or anything fancy, just static photos, and be consistent with it, and it'll gain traction.
Yeah, true.
Love it. Hey, did you learn something?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a lot.
I did. Always. I learned something. All right, guys. Well, hey, I think we'll call that a day. Thanks for showing up. Guys.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, good night. Thank you.
See you next week.
Good night.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.